Hello, everyone. It is 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, February 8th. This is a meeting of the Kensington Fire Protection District Finance Committee. I will call the roll of the two committee members. Director Watt?
Here.
And myself, Julie Stein, I'm here. And we're here with our interim general manager, Mary Morris Mayorga. So our first item after calling the roll is to ask for public comment. This place on the agenda is reserved for comments and inquiries from citizen and the committee concerning members that do not otherwise appear on the agenda. So I'll mention that, we have three attendees who are not on the committee, but I don't see any hands raised for comment. So let us know or we shall move on. Okay, I think we can move on. So the first item of business is adoption of the consent items. The two items on the consent calendar are the approval of the general manager's timesheets from September 2022 through January 2023, and approval of the finance committee meeting minutes. So if there's basically no comment or no one wants to pull the consent items for discussion, we can just entertain a motion to approve them. So, Jim, did you want to discuss any of the consent items?
No, I do not.
And I do not either. Let's just see if anyone from the public, I think the public can pull a consent item if they want to. But I see no hands raised in the public. So I guess we can make I move that we approve the consent items.
I would recommend that we approve the consent items.
So I guess we have to vote, even though we're just an advisory committee. So I vote yes.
I vote yes.
All right. Thank you, Jim. There's no old business. So we can move straight to the new business, which is the FY 2022-23 mid-year budget review. There are supporting materials. And Mary, can you walk us through the mid-year budget review?
Yes. Things around and then I'll share my screen.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Let me get to that and then make sure you can see it. Minutes. Okay. All right. We're to the item. So can you see this? Staff report? Okay, great.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, excuse me. This is the fiscal year 2022-23 mid-year budget review where we take a look at how things are performing and if we need or want to incorporate any budget amendments, changes. So I've gone through to take a look at all of the accounts, revenues, expenditures to see how they're doing. This is a summary, so I'm just going to go right now to the more detail page that shows what we had budgeted, what the July through December numbers are, and then where we're projecting the fiscal year to end. Highlighted those that are somewhat different to recommend changes. And so I'll just kind of walk through those, and then I have a little bit more information. Property taxes especially. So you see property taxes are quite a bit higher than budgeted. when we put together the budget, the amount budgeted typically is pretty conservative, allowing for an increase of about 2% to just remain conservative, not knowing exactly what's going to happen with property taxes. Some counties actually provide an estimate to special districts, which is really nice, but this county doesn't, though. They had a presentation that I think could be helpful, and I'm going to go move this over. Okay, whoops, that. I don't want to move all that. Let's see. Okay. So this, the county does a presentation. So they did their budget presentation on kind of key issues that are affecting the county overall budget at the beginning of January or near January 2022 when they were preparing for the budget. So when we go to page 7, they talk about property taxes. And so they put together, they have a kind of a running list of the overall percent changes within the county of property taxes and assessed values, which is really helpful to see the history because, of course, generally they don't only increase by 2%. They had some years back here. We know the economy had challenges and property values had challenges, but in more recent years, it's been a much higher percentage, but we don't really know that. So when we budget, we remain conservative, but they were projecting a 6% increase for 2022-23. So if you take a look at where we budgeted, Bill had this great spreadsheet where, you know, we had the district history, which is very helpful to know. So these prior years audited, when he put together the audit, budget, the 2022 wasn't known yet. So the budgeted projected figure was used. So it's a little bit lower. So now that we have the audited numbers and they're finalizing the audit, but we don't anticipate any change with this revenue stream, we see that the increase from the prior year actual was actually 5.45% for the district. So it was higher than what we anticipated even back then. So if we look at what was budgeted, originally budgeted, it was just allowing for a 2% increase over what was projected at that time. So if we take a look now at what the county has provided, and there's a little bit more, so this number is a little bit higher. There was another 12,000, and I think it was unsecured property taxes. I didn't include that in my estimate. I don't think that's really necessary to change. But if we look at now the final audit for 2022, and then the projected based on now we have county reports that show us this is what the district will be receiving in the property taxes, the special taxes being separate, and it's showing a 7% increase over the prior year, which is pretty close to what the county estimates at the 6%. So that's the reason for that larger increase that you don't normally see, but in many years, it has actually been quite high. So I'll move that over. And then investment income. I know we talked about recently that some monies were moved out of LAIF and into higher performing investments within the county. So that really improved investment earnings because LAIF is really low right now, which typically happens when they go through these cycles where they start holding a lot of more liquid cash so that they can then take advantage of the higher earning yields when the market is going up. And so some investments, especially in the categories that we're allowed to invest in, have increased. So moving that money over definitely provided for a lot more in interest revenues. So we've received some of that so far. So that's why you see that larger number there. And then I took a look at now that we've changed with going from a regular GM to an interim for the time being and just kind of reevaluated what these numbers are, not terribly different, but they decreased a little bit because there's no vacation holiday sick leave associated with an interim GM. So to decrease that just to get it a little bit more to actual, because I know I'm going to be utilizing a consultant so that I can kind of reflect that money there. I made that change. And then we have some lower dollars here based on the actual billings for the PERS medical dental vision. We had anticipated a little bit of a change in the dental and vision. And then I think over time, some of the individuals have dropped off of the PERS medical, but also I think we never know what the increase in the PERS medical rates are going to be. So that's why the decrease for that. And then there were no increases to Delta Dental and the vision. They've held that flat for many years, which is really a good thing. And then risk management insurance is just a little bit higher than we had originally budgeted. And that's typical for a lot of agencies. So just allowed for the increase there. And then operational consultant, we had Bill Zanoni, the agreement approved with him in January. And then we had with Bill Hensel, a little bit of transition and some assistance with the building to me so that I can keep going with operational activities. And then, let's see, we added the outside professional services for BHI for the general manager recruitment for his contract. Not all might be expended this fiscal year, I'm not sure, but I allowed for that just in case. And if not, we would just roll those funds over. And then in the grant writer, we had, when I put together the agreement for the operational consultant, we had funds available in the grant writer just because we haven't used that for the first part of the year. So reallocated those funds there. And then we still have funds remaining in it. We do are looking to use the grant a grant writer. So left those remaining $31,000 for the rest of the fiscal year, which we should be fine. And then added, as we talked about earlier at a board meeting, major storm season. So we had higher expenses than anticipated and sandbags. So just captured that here. And memberships, it was just a little bit higher than we had anticipated. So increased that just to cover. And then, so I just added a little bit. There were some miscellaneous maintenance costs related to the temporary station. So I just included that here. And then for the temporary station, we have East Bay Sanitary that we hadn't had previously. So added that here to make sure we captured. So overall, we have the increased revenues and then some changes, increases, decreases in expenditures. So overall, this would result in a $604,000 increase to going back into fund balance at the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah. Can we sure. talk about sure. the points that you just raised?
Okay.
Okay, starting up at the top again.
Okay.
On the property taxes.
Yes.
I understand that, and I think you've actually received this money, correct?
Yes.
So we are now $372,000 above what we have projected.
Correct.
But it'd be interesting to know why it is that it went up so much, because we are talking about property taxes, which are fixed by Proposition 13 at a 2% increase annually, which I realize also is increased as a result of the sale of property during that year's period of time. But that typically ranges between 50 and 70 homes a year. And we have never seen a situation where our property taxes have increased in this case year over year by 10%. And I think there's something else in there. It'd be interesting to talk to the county and find out why it is that these increases are year over year running about 10% in a situation where property taxes are fixed by, as I said, Prop 13, and only further additional increases over the 2% are a result of home sales. So it would just be interesting to know why that number jumped up by 372,000. That's all.
Okay. And I can, and I can follow up with them and provide that later.
Okay. So that's all I have to say on that one. Under your going down to the wages there, where you're talking about 100, go up a little bit to the start of this column. Yeah, the 144.
Okay.
We're talking about wages for people like yourself. And we are currently running right on average with what we expected those wages to be. However, hiring you and your costs for the month of January were something like, as I recall, $14,000. I realized that January was the month where we anticipated higher costs. But I think that this number of full year 144,000 is probably on the low side. I think that we probably should be setting aside more money for this, because in addition to your wages, we also included another $14,000 for Bill Zanoni, all of which I believe would be factored into this. So I think we're looking at probably a good $20,000-$25,000 over and above the 144 that's now shown.
So go ahead. Yeah, so actually the contract for Bill Zanoni, because it's a contract and not an employee wage, is down here in the operational consultant. Oh, so that's why we had increased.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay.
Yeah, so you're right. Over for a full year, it would be higher. But then also this takes into account hiring executive assistant, board secretary for the rest of the year. But then when you look at that for like the next full fiscal year, I believe it would be higher. But the operational consultants separated out down here. So that's probably what caused confusion there.
Well, but even if you go down there and look at that number, an operational consultant, I believe we hired him at 14, but it's showing as 19.
So that was just estimating some of the transition costs related to Bill Hansel. He's had a little bit of transition, and then helping out with any kind of building issues that I can't quite get to.
Oh, so Bill's costs are also included in that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
These are pretty low so far, and I don't anticipate it being all that much more in the next few months. So I think this is reasonable. And if it's not for some reason, I can certainly come back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then can we go to the El Cerrito contract fee?
Yes.
As we know, the city of El Cerrito is still negotiating with their firefighters. And what little I know, it was on their agenda at last night's meeting for El Cerrito about the extension or the new contract that is to be entered into with the firefighters that will commence on July 1st of 2022. And we don't know what that is. We don't know what that increase is. We don't know if the numbers here shown on this El Cerrito contract included some assumptions regarding a potential increase. But it would be interesting to know what that number of $3,843,000 represents. Does it represent assumptions regarding the increase in a new MOU with the firefighters? If not, should that number be increased? And I guess where I'm kind of going with this one is, would it be advantageous to bring back this budget for this calendar year, say in a month, once we know what those costs are and the answer to some of these other questions that I've asked? That's all. Now, maybe you already know what was included in this $3,843,000. Did it include assumptions regarding salary increases? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have the detail on that right now. And okay. We could easily come back in a month. I would anticipate the Chief Sailors would be able to come back to let us know what kind of mid-year budget update they have related to the fee, which could, if they have information, incorporate any change that would have occurred with the contract, firefighter contract that you're referring to.
Okay.
So I had some questions as we were moving along. I'll just keep it focused. I had some earlier questions, but on the contract fee, I'm trying to remember how we're actually doing it now as far as keeping a line item on the reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So it used to be that the reconciliation was sort of a big surprise that came in with the new contract fee, the reconciliation from the past. And then we went through a phase where we were actually accruing for the reconciliation as we go. So I'm just basically wondering, so we have a budget item of $123,000 for the reconciliation, and it actually shows some expenditure, $61,000. So I'm curious, $61,583, what does that mean? And also, is this the anticipated reconciliation for the contract that's in effect right now? Or is this the reconciliation for a prior year that ended?
I'll have to follow up on that, but when you look at the 61,583, an accounting perspective, what is occurring is kind of a monthly recurring entry.
Okay.
So to, kind of amortize that 123 over the fiscal year. So it shows here it's in accordance with the contract proposal, but I'd have to get more detail to be able to answer that question.
Okay. Okay. So I agree with both of you that when we do have a better sense of the outcome of the negotiations in El Cerrito, hopefully we could have a meeting maybe next month or whenever the information is available, because there is something in the contract that says El Cerrito is supposed to let us know if the amount of the contract, it's very small, increases or decreases by $5,000. We thought that was a bit granular to be useful, but they did agree on a mid-year budget assessment in terms of what their projections were for the contract. So maybe that will happen in March. And like you said, Chief Sailors could attend that meeting, or maybe Karen Pinkos as well. I just had a quick question. I think you may have ended up answering it back on office wages. So I'm actually okay with you keeping with your projected number and the very small $61 change. It sounded like you did say that this projection includes the possible hiring of a clerk.
Yes. Okay. And I estimated for the rest of the year what that would be. And we'd know more once we have somebody start what kind of actual hours, but I put an estimate in there.
Okay. Okay. And then thanks for putting a total line under the retiree medical benefits. It sounds like this is sort of a work in progress, if I understand it. It shows the end of year projected revenue or disbursement rather being 80,000, but the end of year projected expenditures being 67,145. And what is, if there is a surplus, we've taken out more than we needed to spend. We're not allowed to roll that into operations, right? I mean, it has to stay for the trust fund expenditures for which it's intended.
Right. So what happens is the SERPT reimbursement that you're talking about, we do that based on actual expenditures. So we have to only, PERS kind of guides that, controls that. We can only submit for what has actually been expended. So we have to provide those actual invoice amounts. And so we do that and we provide them with supporting documentation as well. So yes, we can only take out what's actually spent. We can't do it on a budget basis because those are limited by IRS code as to what they can be used for.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Actually, as far as I had only one last question. Going down to the basically the bottom line, the revenue minus expenditures, where you're showing the mid-year amendment of $604,000, which is great because it was only $249,877 before. But I do have a question, and this will be expanded in more detail after we go through the fund balances. But my question at this point is, with this $604,046, is this before setting aside funds for our three vehicle replacement funds, which is typically scheduled to be about $157,000 per year?
Yes, that would be before that because we don't have a line item, I don't think, listed here. So that would be before that.
Okay. For me, that's all I had until we actually get to the fund balance section of your report.
Okay.
Did you have anything else on this portion of the report, Jim?
No.
Thank you, Mary. That was very clear.
Sure. So then I went through the capital expenditures, where they were budgeted, where they are to date. And there are some changes within categories. Overall, there's no net change. I think as a capital project, and this is for the public safety building and temporary facilities, once the project starts to get in motion, some of the things that were estimated for the temporary facilities end up in a different category, but overall they're still well within budget. So I took a look at what those actually were for each of the categories and kind of estimated where they'd end up. There shouldn't be any more, I don't believe, soft costs here. And then I don't believe there would be any additional temporary facility costs. I think we've captured all of those besides some of the smaller ones. And then we had anticipated, so with the temp facilities, the some of these other costs ended up higher, but the relocation costs ended up quite a bit lower. So I basically moved that money up into this other category where we would need it. And contingency, just taking some out of that because it doesn't seem that it's needed. We had budgeted that at 10%. So that leaves us with something if anything else comes up. And I think we actually do have a generator that we're in process for that facility. So just kind of moving things around, like I said, overall, the capital costs are no net increase or decrease. And then, so the debt service I also listed here, kept it at zero. So the annual debt service, we have recently the $2 million loan, we have a reimbursement that we just received of $1.5 million for those costs in accordance with the financing and also in accordance with the financing. So the first year debt service would normally be occurring in fiscal year 2022-23, and it would be a small, and I think if I have the amount right, about a $30,000 interest payment. But as part of the closing on the financing, the financing closing memo says that the funds will be used to pay for capital and then also for the first year debt service. So that first year debt service payment is made out of the closing costs. So that's why we don't have one budgeted separately here. And then just taking a look at fund balances.
Oh, can I just clarify just before you move on then? Is it fair to say at a very high level, with the total cost of the renovation project budgeted at $8.7 million, and is this the right way to think about it, that if it's budgeted at $8.7 million and we've paid $1.2 million as of the end of December, do we have $7.5 million left to pay out if the project stays on budget?
Let's see. And that part actually it's covered in the next item, more so where we have the detail of the total project cost to date, because this is on a fiscal year basis. Okay. So those costs, I think, are more around 1.79, 1.8 million. So that's the difference here. This is just the fiscal year where that next item or two.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Total, yeah. Okay. So a little bit different. So what, that's another 500, 600,000.
Okay.
So 6.9, I guess. Then.
Could I ask some questions on this part too?
Sure.
On your second line item down, which is capital outlay, you can point that out there. It's a 2 million. 433 is the number that is expected for this fiscal year. And over on the right, you see that's 40% of the bid award. The bid award was actually 5,475,000, and 40% of that actually comes in at 2,190,000. So there is a I don't know that that's really an important item, but I just want to point out that it's really not 50%. Okay. More important is the line item below that, which is is the actual amount that's being spent for this year, which is 2,433,000. If we have spent $370,000, and I'm assuming that that's through January of this year.
This is through December.
It's through December. Okay. Nevertheless, that's a 6-month period, but I realize construction didn't get underway until, well, probably late October. And this is a lot of expenditures that we're expecting. It's not, if they happen, they happen, but it's going to annualize out turn out at a rather significant monthly amount. If you feel that's realistic, I guess, but it, so far it hasn't been running at a rate that would seem to justify that, that's all.
So yeah,
I didn't really explain that too well, but okay. Right now, according to what you're saying, is through December we have spent $370,000. Mm-hmm. That's for more than a month. In order to get up to a remaining $2,433,000, we have to be spending at a rate of something like $400,000 a month just to get there. If that's what it's going to be, that's what it's going to be. And it just seemed like it was kind of a high figure. We may not be spending that much, but it's, if we don't, I guess we don't, but it just seemed like it was a rather high figure.
Yeah, and so this is a fiscal year budget amount. So if it doesn't happen exactly as we think it will, those would roll over as into the next fiscal year, those funds be budgeted. So as part of the, it's getting ahead of ourselves, but as part of looking at the overall kind of financial forecast, I'll be looking at the at capital costs to see kind of where they're falling during the next couple of years so that I have a better handle on that to get it into an updated financial forecast. But that's a later item. But
okay. All right.
Doing that.
I just thought it might be a little bit on the high side, but as you're pointing out, it'll just roll over into the next year or so. Okay.
Correct. Yes.
All right. That's all I had on that.
And then let's see, going to fund balances. So I didn't make any change here since we have the audit in progress. They're just about finished. So I should be able to update these numbers. So as you say, when we come back next month with an update, hopefully on the contract and then any other updates that I need to make, I'll have the final from the audit here.
Okay. My comments are that, I don't know. Julie, did you want to go? I hate to jump.
No, I do have a comment on the fund balance, but you can go ahead, Jim.
Well, my real interest is where will the fire district be when the public safety building has been completed, the construction of the public safety building. My concern is how much money will we have left over when this building has been completed? I'm less concerned about where we're going to stand at the end of this fiscal year, because we clearly have a lot of cash still in available cash in our surplus funds to meet that to make it look as though we're still sitting in good condition. But what I want to know is where are we going to be when this building has been completed and all of the money has been spent? And is it possible for you to do that the next and present it to us for our next meeting?
Yeah, and I think so, because that'll be part of the update of the financial plan, financial forecast. And so I'm in the process of getting everything together that I can determine needs to be potentially updated within that. So I think that within a month that's doable.
Oh, great. Okay. So that's part of your financial forecast. Okay, great. Now, yeah, I'm very interested in where that's going to be, and I'm sure you are too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my comment was just, sort of a rolling assessment of that based on the figures here today. And my back of the envelope calculation, if we have $9,487,000 fund balance, which includes the distribution from the loan. And then we have $6.8 million yet to pay on the project. If we just froze those figures today, which I understand we probably are not doing, but that would leave us a reserve of about 2.687, call it 2.7 million. We're supposed to keep at least 1.9 million, half the El Cerrito contract amount on reserve. Although our reserve policy still says we're supposed to keep a full year, which would be 3.8, which we clearly don't have any longer. But if we only keep 1.9 million on reserve, we're also scheduled to have $933,000 in the vehicle replacement fund for this year. So it just looks to me like if we froze things where they are right now, we have $2,687,000 in reserve, where we should have $2.8 million in reserve between the $1.9 for the contract and $933,000 for vehicle replacement. So I know we'll come back to this in the updated financial forecast, but I feel that it's got to be a reality check for everyone, because I know the Emergency Preparedness Committee is talking about an RFP for warning systems, and there are different things, the initiatives that people want to undertake. So we really do need to have a realistic assessment of where our, both what Jim says and the status of our reserves as we move along.
Yes.
Well, can I just add to what Julie said? In addition, the numbers that are being shown here are the numbers at the fiscal year end, which is June 30th. But as we all know, the bulk of the money that we receive from the county for property taxes comes in December. So there is a time delay in terms of when we're going to get the bulk of our money from the county. And that time delay requires the expenditure of a significant amount of money for El Cerrito services up until December. So there's about another $2 million that also has to be considered as being spent before we've actually received the bulk of our revenues in December from the county. So I just want to point out, is it realistic to look at these numbers based upon a June 30th date as opposed to a December date?
Well, I think for these purposes, the June 30 date works, but I think when putting together the financial forecast, we want to make sure that, as you say, at the December point in time each year, that we have enough to weather the rest of the year. So that really, the financial forecast would take, I believe, that into account more closely. Okay.
That's excellent. That's exactly what I would hope you would do. Thank you.
Yeah, I think just a final thing, just to maybe follow on my previous remarks. The fact that our reserve policy presently states that we would keep the full El Cerrito contract on reserve, which is $3.8 million right now, and it could increase. El Cerrito City Council did allow us, last summer, they voted to allow us to reduce our contract reserve to 6 months with recognition of the building project, but also with the assurance that we had an adequate public safety reserve fund, which would be separate than the El Cerrito contract reserve fund. So I think that, you know, for us to commit ourselves to the spirit of this agreement with El Cerrito, we should also be looking really carefully at our reserves and identify what they are. I mean, I don't know if someone could make an argument that our vehicle replacement reserve would be our emergency preparedness reserve. I mean, that's plausible, I suppose, but we might want to formally articulate that in a reserve policy. And we can talk about this at the board meeting too, or we can wait until after we have our next finance committee meeting. But this has been on my mind for a while, since I watched that El Cerrito City Council meeting.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it would probably make sense to have it once we have the updated numbers here, which will kind of go hand in hand with getting an update on the El Cerrito contract to see if we need to make any change in the forecast here.
Yeah, great. So do we actually, go ahead. Sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
I just was going to ask Mary. Mary, I know that we set aside some money to use Bill Zanoni for, I'm not sure what purpose, but do you have any ideas on how his services might be used to possibly help us in some of the things that we've been talking about here. Because I worked with Bill Zanoni when I was involved with the finance committee on the KPBCSD, and he puts together some nice spreadsheets, and it was very, very clear how he did it. I'm not saying that you can't do the same thing. I'm just simply saying that we have set aside this money to use his services, and this might be something that where you might bring him into handling some of the things that you'll be working on. That's all.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be talking with him. We're strategizing on what he can do to help. So we will be doing that.
Oh, great. Great.
You know, I have a general question about this item before we move to the next item. Are we finished with the budget review for the most part?
I am.
Did you want to go over the details on the actual spending? There's one more page, I guess, right?
The summary sheet just captures everything that is listed on the staff report So I don't have anything else unless you have any questions.
Well, my main question is, I mean, I would certainly, speaking for myself, be happy to refer this to the board as you presented it to us. But my question is, should we take this up at the February board meeting, or should we wait to present it to the board until we have the information on the El Cerrito contract? And I don't know if they have a firm timeline for resolving that. Like, for example, would we know for sure that we'd have it by March? Or is your thought, I mean, do you have a recommendation? Should we just present this to the board in February with the unknown that there's still contract negotiations going on with El Cerrito?
Well, I think we're fine in holding back and taking it in March, and I'll check in to see if it seems like March is a reasonable timeframe to get an update on that contract. But that way we'll have more information, and it's not any problem for us to wait to make that mid-year review update.
Do you have an opinion on that, Jim?
I think the delaying it till March is a great idea. Yeah.
So we have a great running start on that with just that one unknown for the most part. Before we move on to the next agenda item, maybe we should just see if there are any comments from, we do have 5 attendees, but I don't see any hands raised.
I don't either.
Okay, cool.
So this item, it's really just informational. This is kind of when I started back in 2020, with developing the budget. I usually start with any budget and putting together kind of a framework of what we're going to focus on, and just to kind of set just some principles on what we're going to develop the budget on, to see if there's any additional thing that we want to consider. And we'll be talking about it more. So this is just the very initial step, and it's actually the 23-24 budget development. Sorry about that. So overall, the guiding principles, just, you know, things that we want to convey, so that we're open and transparent, that it's strategic in being developed, that it's sustainable, as we talk about with the long-term financial plan, that there is resilience built in, which is the reserves that we refer to, that it's realistic, that budget amounts are reasonable given what we're, you know, facing in the future. That there's integrity and quality within the budgetary forecasts and results, and that performance, we want to ensure that the performance of, you know, where we're spending district funds is providing the services for the community that we need to provide. So just really basic guiding principles, nothing earth shattering. And then just kind of the overall budget process as far as timing. So the long-term financial plan update, So we'll have that following the El Cerrito contract update, especially if there's any change, along with some of the other things that we talked about, February, March timeframe. So we can, now this is the new budget year, but we can in March talk with, meet again with the finance committee about the existing budget and any mid-year additional changes. But this reviewing with the finance committee would be for the fiscal year 23-24 budget. And then that would be May timeframe, and then presenting to the board in June. And then what the district follows is approval of the budget in June with final adoption in September. And I think that that's basically allowing for any final update with the contract. And then monitoring of the budget is just an ongoing process along with the mid-year budget review. So this is just to provide information to see if there's any additional input or questions.
It looks great to me.
The only thing that I would add to this is that I think there's a better way that we can provide information on a monthly basis as to where we stand financially. And I won't go into any of the details on it. I've gotten a spreadsheet from my brother, an approach that was taken on something that he was involved in. And I thought it was really a pretty good approach that we might want to consider. And I'm only just throwing this out to say that I will pull together this information, send it over to Mary, and see if there's a way that maybe going forward on our monthly statement of where we are, we can provide information that, in my opinion, would be a little bit more user-friendly than what we see and have seen historically. So I just wanted to let you know that I will send you something, Mary, that you can take a look at and maybe give some thought as to whether or not this might be a new approach to present information on that monthly basis. That's all.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, and we talked about that at the January meeting when we looked at the financial report from December. And there is a little history that when Mary first came on board, she had attempted to provide us financial report, monthly financial reports in a more meaningful way. But we've got this very old board policy that calls for the trial balance and all these details that are, they're accurate, but they don't really help the public or even the board really understand, you know, sort of what financial activity is taking place and where we stand. So I think we're all three in agreement that more meaningful financial reports, much along the line of what Mary was providing us before, and then any suggestions that you have too, Jim.
Okay.
Hopefully we could update that policy because it, that's an internal finance kind of policy. Really not a public consumption policy.
Right. Yeah, I think there are some things that we can still look at taking, you know, out of separating out of those policies to make them more flexible for situations like this, where we decide that those type of financial reports aren't really very useful to the public and we'd like to change them and not have to go through a policy change that requires a couple of readings and meetings. So yeah, we'll be working on that.
Excellent. That sounds great. Okay. All right. Well, let's see if there's any public comment on the budget principles. Just don't see any hands raised among the five. So,
So this report is really just a detail of this is item 5C. All of the costs in each category for the public safety building renovation. January 2021 through January 24th, 2023. We had our finance team run this for us. So it goes through each of the costs, as we talked about earlier, that are collapsed, the soft costs related to plan checks and permits and Then the hard costs related to contractor, the CWS actual construction contract, soft costs related to getting the temporary facility into place and what it took to get that there. And then hard costs that actually put that into place, the lot rental that's part of that, the modular rental, there's admin sublet in the KPPCSD building, temporary building, their temporary facility. And then the relocation costs that I had mentioned we had thought would be higher, and they weren't nearly as high as we had thought. So then just kind of summarizing those in each of the categories that we've been tracking for fiscal year 2021-22 and so far for fiscal year 22-23, which would get us to the 1.79 million, not that 1.2 million we talked about earlier, since that's a fiscal year number. So this is really for information to show you where we are. I'm going to be taking this along with any of the other changes that we know might be coming forward to incorporate into the financial forecast to see that where we stand, to make sure that, you know, as the project goes along, it's where we anticipated. I don't see any huge changes at this point, but we'll definitely capture those when we do the financial forecast update. And then, you know our fund balances going forward over the next few years so that we ensure those are adequate as well. So this was just for information purposes, and happy to answer any questions if you have any.
So just based on on this, which you pointed out earlier, if the total budget for the project stays at 8.7 million, then we have approximately 6.9 million more to spend.
Correct.
Mary, could you go back to, I think it's page 2 of 5.
Yes. Okay.
And those first two groups up there, the one that ends in 682.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you'll see that you have included the costs from Marjan and from MAC-5. And as you know, Marjan and MAC-5 are the ones that, as I understand it, are overseeing the construction process, and that the costs that we are paying for the contractor are all legitimate, that sort of thing. So my question is, why is it that we are spending a total here, it looks like, of 27 plus thousand dollars a month, it appears, for this review of the contractor's work? And what are we getting back to show that that kind of expenditure is justified?
So there's a lot of activity right now, especially. I expect this will drop off a little bit later, but there's, I would say, many daily emails that come through on this, which is why Bill's really helpful at fielding a lot of those. And so there, you know, the architect is checking to see that the construction contractor is following those drawings when they're proceeding with different activities. They have to provide daily reports to them. And so they are ensuring that this is happening in accordance with the contract and drawings, and following up on any misconception of the drawing based on the part of the construction contractor and resolving that. So it's really helpful right now, and it's a higher cost right now. I'm not sure exactly which month, but I would say in the next few months that would drop off a lot more significantly, because as things roll along. So I think this was more of a ramp up. And if I look back here, more of the costs, I think, are in the beginning part, and I think those will taper off, and I'll have more information on that that I can bring back when we talk about this again.
Well, actually, I'm not too sure that these costs do drop off, because what I saw in the MAC 5 contract is that they were going to be billing us at an annual rate of approximately $17,000, which is what's showing up here. And Marjan too is also overseeing this work. So I still think this is a significant amount of money to be overseeing the contractor. I understand we've entered into these contracts with both MAC 5 and Marjan, but I'm not too sure what we're getting for it. And more important is what has been happening going forward. Typically, following along and seeing what the contractor is doing oftentimes results in that contractor coming back and asking for a change order. And have there been any change orders during this time? Change orders typically add to costs. I don't know. I mean, are we still comfortable with the fact that we entered into a contract with this contractor for $5,475,000, and so far to date, that number hasn't changed? Or are changes occurring and they're being looked at and approved by these consultants, MAC 5 and Marjan? I don't know. I don't know what it is that we are getting, I guess, for our expenditures from Marjan and MAC 5, and yet we're paying them money. So that's my concern.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I find them to be really helpful, so I can put information together on that. I need to collect the information as part of the financial forecast update. So I'll have that along with change orders. I think there have been some, I'm not sure of the dollar amount, but I will bring that back once I have an update and have collected all of the most current public safety building costs and estimates that I will incorporate into the financial plan. I'll bring that all back to you.
Okay.
And we can kind of run through who's doing what and, you know, how we see that benefit.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see if there's any public comment on this is item C that we're finishing up. Okay, I don't see any hands raised, so we can move to, I think, are you ready, Mary, to move to
the
updated financial forecast?
Correct. I kind of talked about this in a couple different places when we were going over items today, but this is really just informational to let you know that I'm taking a look at the public safety building financing and the forecast that was put together as part of that, which is NHA Advisors put together that forecast to determine that the project was feasible and sustainable. So I want to make sure that we update that for the long term to see where district reserves will end up, you know, in accordance with any kind of changes that might need to be made to that forecast, along with operational changes that we kind of went through in the mid-year budget. So this is just really to tell you that that's in progress, and I anticipate in late February, early March, having that complete. So it'll come back and we can hopefully have that at the next finance committee meeting. And then it will also flow into development of the fiscal year 23-24 budget, which will be very helpful. And happy to answer any questions just for information at this point.
I just have a general question. Is the general format of the financial forecast that NHA Advisors used, which is just this very massively long spreadsheet, is that typical? I know that the KPP-CSD had employed a financial forecasting firm, and that firm did the same thing, and people kind of thought there wasn't a whole lot of sort of insight or thought put into it. It sort of seemed like autofill with an occasional adjustment of a cell here and there. But I was just curious because I haven't seen that many different formats for this.
Yeah, I mean, that's typically what you have is this long 10, 20, 30 year spreadsheet that incorporates assumptions for different types, categories of increases, inflation type factors, and then any operational changes that you think you might have in any given year, and capital costs, set asides. So that's been my experience with water and wastewater districts is that's really how it looks. I mean, we can create graphs and things from that might be more useful, but that's, we want that data to make sure that we have our numbers and everything looks sustainable, but then we can put together something that is maybe more usable for the public, most certainly. But yeah, that's typically how it is.
Well, that was definitely one thing. So I can understand that the Excel file is the underlying data. I did find the graphs, the bar charts that were put together. They would have been helpful if there had been an actual summary table that could have gone along with them. These are the ones from NHA Advisors, but if you didn't have them like printed out in color and following all the colors of all these different boxes and what they meant. Someone from the public who's actually pretty good at this described it as a caricature. And I think I know what they were trying to say, that it's sort of like at the end of the day, you show these, but there should be some sort of intermediate report using the data, rolling it up, but still helping to understand with real numbers instead of trying to extrapolate over to the axis and where the bar chart would end and go over to the axis and figure out what is this number and what are they talking about.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Yeah, that helps to know. We can definitely incorporate something.
Yes, I agree that spreadsheet was terrible. I printed it out and I think it extended for about 3 feet or something like that. I know that, and he may be with us today, but that Dave Spath and I have talked about this, about that spreadsheet that was put together by NHA Advisors. And we're very concerned because of the assumptions that NHA Advisors made. And we need to really understand this because this is extremely important in terms of trying to take a look at where we're going to be over the next 5 to 10 years. Because NHA Advisors assumed in their calculations that our costs for firefighter services would increase at 4%, and that our revenues from property taxes would increase at 4%, and therefore there was a wash. But in fact, with the exception of this year, and that was one of the first discussions we had in today's meeting, it would appear that the cost of our firefighter services are increasing at substantially more costs than we are receiving in terms of benefits from our revenues on property taxes. And if that's the case, then the conclusions that were reached by NHA Advisors, that we will over time continue to build up substantial reserves, may not be true. And this is certainly a very important thing that we need to know going forward. So I just want to point out that this whole NHA Advisor analysis that was made about a year ago in connection with the possibility that we would be going out to get to borrow money, $2 million, which we did do, may not be accurate. And if it's not accurate, we need to know that. So that's all I have to say on it for this time. But I'm glad that you are taking a look at it because I think this is an extremely important thing to look at, because it obviously has a lot to do with what it is that you're going to be doing next, which is to be taking a look at a five-year forecast for us, as I understand it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's
probably even out further, but yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially for a district such as this, with pretty singular revenue stream, it's not really diversified. So you definitely want to make sure that your long-term forecasting is as up-to-date and accurate as it can be. So we'll definitely
agree completely. Agree completely. Right. Okay.
Okay. Let's see if there's any hands raised in the public.
I don't see any.
No. Okay. So future agenda items. I think we've kind of, do we have anything in addition to what we've already discussed for a March meeting? It sounds like we'll have a pretty full plate in March.
Yeah, I don't have anything additional.
How about you, Jim?
No, I think we've covered it.
Great. All right, then. Anything else we should discuss before adjourning?
No,
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. This was very well organized and very efficient.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jim. And we'll see what happens when the agenda comes out, whether we'll have this in February or put it off till March. I'll leave it up to you, Mary.
Yeah, I think March is probably better. I would do it in February if we needed to for any reason, but knowing that we might need it in March and it'd be better to have, you know, as up to date as we could, I think that would be more reasonable.
Okay. Great. All right. See everybody next week, I guess.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.